our scripture this morning as we continue and actually conclude in our series on new beginnings comes to us from the very last of the scriptures, from the book of Revelation. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there or to follow along on the screens as we go to the third chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who will open and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens the door. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of patience, endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will give you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Let anyone who has an ear to what the Spirit is saying to the churches hear. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a time of prayer? Holy God, we come before you, asking that you hold open the door that you promise, that we may boldly step forward and move into your new beginnings for us, individually, as a people, and as a church. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer, our Jesus the Christ. Amen. The front door of the parsonage was very weak. It had aged, and it had rotten in many places. It was quite actually ugly to the neighbors, to be honest, and they would come by our house, this parsonage of the church, and they would give us the look that only the HOA members would give you. Y'all know that look? It was a look of great dissatisfaction. Well, they were doing some minor repairs on the parsonage at that time, and we asked, do you think it might be possible to get a new front door? The chair of trustees looked at us and said, go pick one out that you like and we'll install it. Well, you need to understand that my wife, Sally, is one who is mindful of finances and very conservative with the spending of ours and even more so with the spending of other people's money, especially when that money belongs to the church. So with that in mind, we did not go hog wild and order a door with transepts and leaded or Tiffany glass, but we did not go back to the same door we had already have. We chose a middle-of-the-road kind of door for a very nominal price. It was installed, and it gave the home a almost brand-new appearance in the neighborhood. In fact, the people who would walk by now smiled at us, and they nodded their approval because we had a door that had a wood finish with frosted oval glass in the middle, and it looked like every other house in the neighborhood. We fit in. Unfortunately for us, the finance chairman of the church blew a gasket and accused us of stealing from the church. He inferred that we did not care that the church was in financial crisis. In fact, he badmouthed us for almost a year till he finally got the SPR involved. And it took about 20 months of innuendo, looks, and stalled ministry till we all figured out that the chair of finance had read the bill incorrectly. He thought the door was $2,000, while the entire project of all the repairs plus the door was $2,000. Can you say awkward? Who knew that a door could have such power, such potential of making or breaking one's life, one's work, one's friendships, or even the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ? Or be something that opens up for us a whole new life to a whole new beginning. We knew that, and we stepped through it. The commentaries share that the open door is a powerful symbol to anybody who's ready to leave the past behind and step out on a new beginning. One of the great I am proclamations of Jesus is found in John's Gospel in the 10th chapter, where he proclaims, "I am the door." The symbol of the door held open by the irresistible divine power of God is more encouraging to a wounded and weary soul looking for a way to begin again than is the symbol of Christ standing outside of the door and knocking, awaiting the initiative of someone who is inside to open it, as John the Revelator describes in another part of his book. You've seen the paintings, they are famous. The door, though, that is held open by the divine power in today's scripture suggests that God in Christ has already acted on our behalf. We don't have to open the door. We only need to walk through the door. You remember a few weeks ago I shared with you that the calendar offers us grand opportunities for new beginnings. Every 12 months, in fact, the new year comes around and we have that month, January. It's timely for us. It's a timely opportunity. But in the book of Revelation, we don't have an annual moment. It is an anytime proposition. Whenever you are ready, you can step into a new beginning, my friends, and that is the good news of the Revelator. When we are hit by the biggest of situations in our lives, such as the death of a loved one, and our lives are reshaped, relationships are reshaped, it requires a new beginning. A new beginning without that loved one who is no longer physically present, but truly spiritually present. Divorce or family trauma force many unwanted new beginnings. The pain is gut-wrenching, but at times it creates a healthier life. The loss of a job or financial setback stop the flow of daily living and demand a new beginning. Eric Hoffer, a former longshoreman who turned philosopher, has said, "A person's heart is a grave long before the person is buried. Youth dies, and beauty, and hope, and desire. Something in us dies when we lose anything great or small. All losses require a reassessment of life to accommodate the loss. New beginnings, therefore, aren't always easy, but they are possible and they are necessary. Those who move through these events in life welcome the powerful hand of God holding open the door of life for us." There are new beginnings, my friends, that may well bring joy in the morning or even joy right now, but they are preceded on the most part by a long, dark night of suffering and sorrow. You've probably witnessed an alcoholic or drug addict trying to make a new beginning. You may have had the experience yourself. It's a terrific, terrible experience any time of the year when it happens. But when you are ready for it, it is possible. When all our strength or willpower is gone, God will stand by with the door open. And God will even sometimes send someone to hold it for us so that you and I, when we are ready, might take the step through it. Not all new beginnings are successful on the first try, though. When I was appointed to St. Mark United Methodist Church in Midtown, it was a new beginning of sorts. Yes, I was to be the pastor of this historic social justice congregation, but at that moment, I was supposed to also stay in my role as the director for the Center for Clergy Excellence for the annual conference. Yes, two jobs in one. And they thought this was a grand new idea. We should try it. Well, it didn't work because I was soon made the pastor of the church alone, but not before something hit 6 weeks after my arrival called a pandemic. The beginning was less than stellar, for the world fell apart because of COVID-19. And my first real act of leadership was to close the church for 18 months. I sarcastically call myself the COVID pastor of St. Mark because we stayed closed for health reasons longer than any other church and only opened it up for the last few months of my tenure to clean up and get things moving, hopefully, forward again. I am reminded by the commentaries that some of us find it necessary to begin again and again and again. We must begin several times before we safely make it through the open door. We cannot be discouraged if you have to begin several times, because you will make it. We all like to fantasize that starting over again can be done with one big effort and that everything will be hunky-dory and the process will never need to be repeated again. That's a wonderful thought, but none of it happens to us most of the time. But more often than you may think, old habits and old patterns of defeat tend to return. Others may not be so apt to follow or to allow us a new beginning. Life happens. All of it just seems to slip up upon you. They return in disguise, and they've held you in their clutches before you realize what is happening. Do not despair. Any new beginning that's worth our time and effort is worth doing again. The door never closes when you fail. God never shuts the door. Whenever you are ready, you simply step on through it. Ministry Matters tells us that there is a sense in which life-changing, God-directed new beginnings never end. The life and times of the patriarch Abraham in the Old Testament book of Genesis is a good example of how important new beginnings are and how it may take a lifetime and even more. There's a passage in the book of Hebrews which summarizes the long story of Abraham's new beginning. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. After answering God's call, Abraham never had a dwelling place more permanent than a tent. He left his home in Haran, not knowing where he was going, and spent the rest of his life without ever reaching a permanent destination. He's what we call a wayfaring pilgrim whose new beginning never ended. There never was a time in which Abraham was not reshuffling the circumstances of his life and the life of his family in order to follow the call of God to a destination beyond the parameters of this world. Abraham was forever beginning again, just like you and I do most of the time. His life was a journey, not a destination. And so it is with our lives when they are in Christ Jesus. Let us make the changes and the adjustments imposed on us by the circumstances or the changes chosen because we see a better way, because God has been faithful and God has opened a door for us to go through to begin again. These are the new beginnings that can be made whenever we are ready. It doesn't have to be January. It doesn't have to be on your birthday. It can be any time that we realize we're not moving in the right direction. It can be any time when we don't like the way we are going and we see how we can be different. It can be after a glorious past and a time of success. It can be a move after a beloved pastor and their ministry. Just do not forget the new beginning that lasts a lifetime. It is our journey in faith to a destination about which we have only faint knowledge. Only God knows where we are headed. All changes and adjustments of what we think, what we say, and what we do are to be made with the difference to the larger purpose, to the larger call about what and which we must trust more than we know. Paul, the apostle, said it well, if you remember last week's scripture. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the good prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Doors are important. They protect us from the harmful environment and elements. They keep us safe inside from harm and the dark night. Doors keep the critters out and the children in. Doors are meant, though, to be opened at times so that fresh air can come flowing in. And they are meant to be stepped through into new and exciting beginnings that God has for us, his beloved child, his beloved church. So I ask you this morning, Kingswood, are we ready to step through that door that's open for us to begin a lifelong adventure for the kingdom of God together? I'm so excited to step through it. I hope that you might find the strength and the courage to take my hand as we begin again. All that we need to do is to remember the big picture and make the changes that are respectful of that big picture. We can begin again whenever we are ready. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.